I digress. Let me bring in Todd Furman from Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. NFL playoffs going on. I'm sure that is keeping you very busy. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing well, Mark. I got a kick out of the fine intro they lead into your segments with. Someday I can only aspire to that type of Mark Rogers greatness.
Well, it's Bobby Thompson's greatness back there in studio today. He was just intrigued by the fact that the MLS draft has run the World's Strongest Man competition off ESPN2 today. But
we haven't seen World's Strongest Man in quite some time. Next thing you know, we'll have the Major League Baseball entry draft even trumping the MLS upstarts.
Do you post MLS odds?
We actually have not booked MLS in the past, but it's strongly being discussed.
No, it's not.
The 2012 sports calendar in anticipation of Euro Cup 2012. Despite you taking shots at the world's most popular sport, we do actually have a good amount of folks who come in and bet English Premier League with us on a weekly basis. Now, I know that product a few steps ahead of what we see in our domestic leagues here in the States.
All right, if I roll into Caesars Palace for the World Cup, would I have difficulty getting a table?
Depends which game. If it was any game involving Team USA, our book was packed throughout the previous World Cup. And actually, for the World Cup finals and semifinals, it would be tough to get a seat. Now, if I compare it to Super Bowl or Kentucky Derby, then it's apples to oranges. But it does draw a better crowd than your Cardinals would playing out a NL Central game against the Brewers in the middle of August.
I gotcha. All right, I've got an issue with one of the lines this week.
You going to tell me which number is soft and where your best bet slash lock of the week is going to be going on this fine segment?
I'll get to this. I've seen some softness in the college basketball numbers that I want to discuss with you. But in the pros, there's been a ton of hype on Drew Brees and the Saints. And they've won, I think, 10 in a row. They're performing extremely well. They've looked incredible at home. But I think that the defensive dog theory comes into play this week. They're going to be going up against a team with a superior defense at home with an added week to prepare. And I think I got the wrong team favorite here. I think the 49ers win this game.
The betting public would strongly disagree with you on that fine game and your assessment of what we'll see. However, the bookmaking community is firmly on your side, Mark. I think what you're seeing here in this game is public perception at its finest. I mean, this is a Saints team who's now played one road game in their last 10. That was a 22-17 barn burner against the Tennessee Titans. But I don't know the last time, and you may never see it again, the Saints have now covered 10 straight NFL games. That's 10 straight games, so obviously the betting public has been able to latch themselves to the Drew Brees bandwagon and cash tickets on a regular basis. Actually, as I look at it, I stand corrected. It's only 9 straight games they did not cover against the Rams. But I think San Francisco is extremely live in this game. I think the 49ers pose the exact matchup the Saints don't want to see. They can run the football. They can play defense. And one would have to wonder what that track will be like up there at Candlestick. If they turn out the lights on Ben Roethlisberger, who knows what they're capable of with the turf.
Yeah, and they, you know, the Saints had a nice fourth quarter, third, you know, second half run last week to kind of pull away in that game, but I really think that they're ripe. So, okay, I'm glad that I'm on the same side as you. I have a little bit of difficulty coming up with an opinion on these other games. I do like New England, and I probably think that I would lay the points in this one, although it's a bunch. I love the Broncos last week, but I think Tebow's magic has run out.
This is a stiff price tag when you talk about the divisional round. You're not accustomed to seeing numbers quite this high, and don't be so quick to dismiss Denver. I mean, they were a lot more competitive than what the final score indicated against New England the first time around. They were done in by a couple of turnovers in the second quarter. New England, despite having one of the best coaches in the NFL, as lauded by the media and everyone else, has not performed all that well in the playoffs, especially in the favorite role. So while I don't think I want to back Denver catching 13.5 in this game, I'd be awfully hesitant to lay 13.5 with New England because I feel this number is exactly where it needs to be.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Any interest at all? Are people betting on this Houston-Baltimore game? I mean, I think that's one. If I had to skip one, that would be the one I would miss for sure.
I think the MLS draft is creating as much buzz in the Caesars Entertainment Sportsbooks as the Houston-Baltimore game. Given its time slot early on Sunday, I anticipate this to be the slowest volume game of the weekend for us. Just not a whole lot of star power in this game for the casual football fan. I mean, no one really on the Texan side, outside of Arian Foster, will be a household name, maybe Andre Johnson for some folks. But this is a game that essentially will play out with defense. I think Houston's going to try and establish the run and try and build a lead, force Joe Flacco out of his comfort zone and throw the football. But Baltimore's been great when they've given the ball to Rice 20-plus times. I think having a bye week to prepare and knowing John Harbaugh's track record, this is a game where you look under the total and a lay it or don't play it type of contest.
Lay it or don't play it. I like the jargon. At the beginning of the year, you'd do anything you could to have people bet against Green Bay, but it looks like now, the first week of the playoffs, that the Giants are considered the team to play in this game. All the media the last couple of weeks during Giants games have talked about how dangerous they are and how good their front front four is and how much pressure they're getting on quarterbacks. All that is true, but I kind of like Green Bay this week. And it's, again, it's a weird number because the Pack were favored by the same amount on the road not that long ago, about a month ago.
Exactly, and I think you're seeing an awful lot of value in Green Bay in this particular spot. I mean, like you alluded to, they were 7-point favorites at MetLife Stadium. The question I have, has that much changed between these two teams that we're seeing roughly a 6.5 to 7-point adjustment if you account for the change in venue between these two teams? I know a lot of luster has worn off of the Packers since they lost to Kansas City, but this is still a very dynamic offense and a team that'll have a chip on their shoulder. Some interesting trends when you talk about the number one seed in the NFC coming into this type of contest, 9-1 against the spread when their opponent won their previous game by 13 or more points. I think you're seeing a deflated number here, and I'm not sure the Giants have the firepower to keep up with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Lambeau.
All right, very good. Big 12 basketball. It's been a pretty good start so far. Last night, Missouri went in and got a win against Iowa State, but the number was the same in the Texas-Oklahoma State game as it was in the Texas A&M game last night. And that one was a tough one to figure out for me. Does your power ratings have Texas A&M and Oklahoma State rated the same?
Texas A&M has been one of those teams that we've continued to drop in our power ratings. I mean, their last couple performances, a home loss to Rice, getting absolutely buried by Iowa State. It's been a real tough team to try and figure out because they played such a soft schedule during their non-conference portion of the season. Oklahoma State, a little bit surprising with how well they played defensively against Oklahoma and Bedlam. I mean, holding the Sooners to 9 of 42 shooting in the first half or something close to that. I'm just not sure where some of these teams in the middle of the pack will slot. I mean, we know Missouri, Kansas, Baylor are in a tier above everyone else. I think as you look at that second tier, it looks to be Kansas State, Iowa State, and then everybody else fighting for position. The one thing about Texas, they'll struggle throughout the year when they have teams that can defend their guard play. I mean, they're essentially a one-man team led by Jacoven Brown.
Yeah, and I noticed that the point, the over-unders on their games have been pretty low. The game last night went under, but it was at 123. That was a classic example last night. I have A&M in that one with 12, and they've been fouling, you know, late. Texas missing some free throws, and so Texas is dribbling it out when a foul could get them to a push or probably in some circles a win. So that's one of those where I'm sure you got people in the book yelling at the TV.
No question. Some interesting games coming up in the Big 12. I mean, Kansas State now has to go on the road to play OU. OU probably catches them at the right time if K-State will be licking their wounds. Kansas will play host to Iowa State. I mean, this is a Cyclone team who I think is talented and will only get better. But last night, a prime example, and I talked a little bit about it to folks when they're looking for value. You consider that Texas laid 2.5 points when they went to Ames no more than a week ago. Missouri travels there and lays 4. There's not anyone in the free world, bookmaker or otherwise, who tells me Missouri is only a 1.5-point favorite over Texas. So I advise everyone out there looking for value in their Big 12 handicapping. Put a lot of stock in the numbers, and if it looks too good to be true, you can always pass.
Yeah, and they're fluctuating early, and you and I text about this in the Baylor-Kansas State game, which happened Tuesday night after K-State had a great game against Missouri. And so you might make that same illustration there, Todd, for the people that are paying attention that follow that, is that you really right now early on are seeing a lot of movement in these games depending on how well a team plays.
And no question about it, and I think you're even seeing that tonight, to use a Big Ten example. You look at the Wisconsin Badgers, losers of 3 straight. I mean, this team has definitely struggled to score in the half court, but they were a 2.5-point road favorite going to Michigan, now catching 3 points going to West Lafayette to take on Purdue. Now, I know it doesn't seem like an awful lot, but if you look at it in terms of raw numbers, this is a 5-point differential. I don't believe Michigan is 5 points worse than Purdue on a neutral, so I think you can see value in the Badgers despite the way they've played, but that's built into the number, and oftentimes the best sides you're going to find are teams that are struggling as bookmakers look to overadjust.
I'll go back to the NFL for a second. Has there been any dramatic? I told you my theory was to put 100 on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl and 100 on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. Have there been a lot of swings? Did the pick up a lot of Giants money after last weekend?
We definitely have. The Giants have seen the most movement in their futures. I mean, we had them at 15-1 going into last weekend, dropped them to 12-1 after the win against the Falcons, and actually have moved them all the way down to 8-1 at this point based on the huge public support we've seen. The Patriots saw a nice move only because of what the competition they're going to be surrounded by. So the Patriots, which were about plus 115, didn't play a game last week, moved to minus 140 now, knowing how heavy a favorite they'll be against the Broncos this Saturday evening.
All right, I got it. What's been going on in Caesars? Any celebrity sightings that you can tell us about?
No major celebrity sightings of late. We're working on some special events. Hopefully we'll play host to Hank Goldberg doing his Super Bowl segment from the fine hallowed Caesars Palace, and maybe get a little FaceTime for yours truly if we can work that out. And for anybody who listens to Chad Millman's Beyond the Best podcast, encourage them to tune in today. We're doing a 40 or 45-minute breakdown of the NFL playoffs, building on the foundation we started today, Mark.
Wow, that's impressive. 45 minutes on ESPN.com, huh? That's good stuff.
I'm not sure anybody can listen to me for 45 minutes. There's a good chance I'll tune myself out after about 15 to 20.
All right. Hey, I will be out in your neck of the woods next week, so I will look forward to seeing you, and maybe we can try to get in some trouble out there. So
we'll make sure we keep a table put aside for you for conference championship weekend. In the meantime, enjoy the games, and make sure you give Traber a hard time for the way his Steelers went down in tremendous fashion.
Yeah, today's the first time I have talked to him on the air. I think that he's been a big Tebow advocate, too, so he's at least had that to fall back on. All right, Todd, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Good to hear from you.